Did Apple just trigger the apocalyptic end of mankind? On June 10th, 2024, Apple announced an AI product it calls Apple Intelligence, which promises to be a game changer with the way that we interface with our devices. Today, we're going to look at the symbolism of AI hidden in plain sight that supports what occultists like Aleister Crowley have long fantasized for, the end of the world as we know it. We'll look at the symbolism of Apple's use for the Seal of Babylon and her connections to Chaos, Nuit, Hadid, and Elon Musk's Grok. Elon Musk. Sorry, folks. I'm trying my best to be real dramatic on these intros. Elon Musk's Grok AI, which connects us into the Luciferian tale of Stranger in a Strange Land. Join me for loads of synchro mysticism on today's episode of Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. Now, if we zoom all the way out and look at the timeline for all of humanity from the perspective of religion and the occult, it becomes clear to me that this AI, artificial intelligence, may accelerate the shift in consciousness and ultimately destroy humanity, which is the goal of the occultist. It's been the plan for hundreds of years, and technology and science will be the tool used to usher in the new life form, this supposed perfected digital consciousness, while man becomes enslaved in the digital matrix. Ray Kurzweil's singularity mashes up with Crowley's Aeon of Horus, and even Isaac Newton's predictions for the end of humanity, which we're going to talk about today. And to understand why I say this, we've got to look at this massive topic by going through various stages. We're going to look at Apple's Luciferian logo, the new AI Apple Intelligence Babylon logo, Crowley's Scarlet Women, the idea of these Egyptian occult gods of Chaos or Hadid. We'll talk about the symbolism of 789, Elon Musk's warnings about AI, and then Elon Musk's Grok AI, which connects us into Robert Heinlein's Stranger in a Strange Land, which is all about the alien intelligence. And then we're going to bring it all together in the conclusion. Where does it go? You already know where it goes. It goes to the nerds killing us and the goat with the bobs. A greatest hits, if you will, of the things I talk about. You know, it's funny because I was on the Twitter the other day, gently suggesting that maybe Alex Jones is doing too much fear-mongering, because in 1 week he had talked about how it was literally the final broadcast of InfoWars because the feds are coming in to shut it down, to we're going to have forced mandates of jabby jabs tomorrow, to the apocalypse end of the world is coming this week with World War III in Russia. And I thought, look, I'm okay with talking about all these things. I like Alex Jones. He's fine. But at what point do we say, hey, is this fear-mongering? Is this what the mainstream media does? You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. I'm just trying to add some clarity to the conversation, all right? There was no hate, no shade. And then someone on there, I don't know who, I don't respond to trolls, said something about this coming from the guy who's talking about Satan killing us every time. And yeah, I mean, to be fair, that is true. That is what I say every time. But I mean it, especially this time. The devil's coming for you and your kids. No, it's true. I mean, I guess I try not to fearmonger, even though it all ultimately goes back to spiritual battles and apocalyptic end times. And the reason I bring it up is because that's where the occult doctrines go to. I've talked about this countless times over the years, because this is the occult fantasies of the great work. And this is just yet another example of how it could be ushering in through symbolism, all right? I'm not trying to scare you. If you're scared, go to church, right? Because I'm not scared. Look at me. I'm not shaking in my boots. I'm not stomping on the desk because I don't care. You know what I mean? It's fine. If it's the end of the world, then I don't know. Oh, well. You know what I mean? And my worldview and my life experiences have brought me to that. I'm not like, I don't fetishize death, and nor do I want to die. But I mean, what am I going to do about it, right? You're supposed to do the same thing regardless of what's going to happen. That's what orthodoxy taught me. It doesn't matter when the end times are coming. It really doesn't matter. Quit wasting your breath and your energy and your resources on doing that, and focus your energy and resources on being a positive person and showing love to one another. That's it. That's what you're supposed to do. It doesn't change anything. Anyway, let's get into it. Let's talk about, first we got to start with this Luciferian Apple logo. As you know, the symbol for Apple is the apple with a bite taken out of it. Now, there's been many claims and theories over the years about what this really means. If you go to the official Apple history on the Apple fandom website, they'll tell you the first iteration of this logo back in 1976 was referring to Isaac Newton, right? And his inspiration for gravity, which he saw the apple fall from the tree and derived the theory of gravity. Now, Isaac Newton was an occultist. He was kind of a Christian occultist. And he had written that man wouldn't understand when the end times were happening until it was too late, until it was actually happening. And there were some writings of his that were retrieved that I've read about that he gave a specific year. And that year was 2060. Now, this should be alarming because Isaac Newton, this guy lived in what, late 1600s, early 1700s? That's a pretty good, accurate guess. And I've heard, and I tried to find the source for this so that I wasn't being too, you know, infactual. But Isaac Newton, from what I recall on my viewing of Ancient Aliens and such, the theory of gravity came to him through divine inspiration. He channeled the knowledge, I think. Don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure I saw that somewhere, all right? So could it be that this same divine intervention, this divine channeling of information, told him the specific year of 2060? Because that ain't too far off from what all the theories of technology lead us into when you look at Moore's Law, Ray Kurzweil's singularity theory, which puts us at about 2045 being the time when man becomes part of the digital matrix because AI becomes too intelligent, basically. Now, the next version of the Apple logo gave us the apple with a bite out of it because apparently they were worried it looked too much like a cherry. This is the Apple logo we all know about, right? But they thought it looked like a cherry, so they took the bite out of it. Nothing devilish there, right? Wrong. You know what you came here for? Some devil fear-mongering. And that's what I'm going to give you. This is a conspiracy show. Fool, what you thought it was? Yes, it's the devil. It's about the apple with the bite out of it represents the Garden of Eden and mankind taking a bite from it under the guidance or the tutelage of the Luciferian serpent. All right? The serpent who promised, what did he promise Adam and Eve? Promised to open their eyes and give them the wisdom and the knowledge and the gnosis so that they could become like gods. The knowledge or the understanding. That's why it came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're talking about the opposing forces, the duality, the opposing polarity of good and evil. Right? We talk about the union of opposing forces, the reconciliation of opposites, sex, magic. These are all similar ideas. The idea of unionizing, that's the black and white checkered floor on the Freemason lodges, or the Baphomet, the goat with the bobs. Same thing. That's what that symbol, I think, ultimately baked down represents. It's the unionizing of opposing forces and bringing about the end times of man becoming God. The foolish notion that man could become God from my Christian warrior perspective. If you go to the Orthodox Study Bible, it clarifies that deification occurs through obedience to God, not disobedience. And this is the idea that I've talked about. I've been really going hard in the paint on this lately because I think I'm starting to understand what's going on here. It's about taking that right or left-hand path, being inside the stream of God's consciousness and obedience to God versus being independent, the free will, the free thinker, the Luciferian Prometheus, being independent of God's stream of consciousness. Because the occultists, the left-hand pathers, believe that they can become God on their own right. If you're confused by any of that, either keep listening to the podcast, because I've been talking about it pretty hard for the last few years, or pick up my book, The Dark Path, which you can get on the patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher if you just sign up for $5. Or you can get on Audible. I narrated it there. Or Amazon, or signed copies at the Gumroad store. Now, this is where, and then you could also argue that Alan Turing, who is the godfather of computer science, he was a homosexual. It is Pride Month, after all. And I think the story goes that he committed suicide by putting arsenic in an apple and taking a bite out of it. And of course, Apple is a computer science-based company. I mean, that's another theory out there. I do think that technology is the path towards man becoming digital consciousness, which is the ultimate goal of the occultists, to break free from this simulation prison planet and become gods of the digital matrix. All right. Now, speaking of Patreon, on the Patreon, here's what sparked all this. Commenter, live like kings. Live like kings. What was that on? That was on a... you know what? I got to Google that. There was a movie I watched, or a show. Is it The Witch? I think it was The Witch. Isn't that something that the Luciferian force says? He says, live like kings. I could be wrong. Moving on. Anyway, a commenter, live like kings, commented on a recent show. I don't remember which one. I read the comments, though, and on the Patreon only. And Live Like Kings commented that the AI symbol for Apple Intelligence looked just like the Seal of Babylon. And I thought, what? And I looked it up, because I actually didn't know there was a symbol or logo for the Apple Intelligence thing. I'd heard about it. You know, I don't really care. I'll rock this old-ass Apple phone till the wheels fall off. I'm not interested in buying new products. And sure enough, I'll be damned if that symbol didn't look the same as the Seal of Babylon. Aleister Crowley's Seal of Babylon, seven-pointed star. Now, technically, if you want to dissect it, it's inverted. It's upside down. All right? We'll come back to that, though. But yes, the Apple Intelligence logo is the same, similar to the Babylon symbol, the Seal of Babylon. Why do we care? Well, let's talk about Babylon. Babylon, to Aleister Crowley and the occultist, was the sacred goddess of sex magic. Because it's always about sex magic, the unionizing of opposing forces, okay? Now, the Scarlet Woman is a similar concept. It's what Crowley called were the women that were the avatars for his Whore of Babylon. They were his consorts, right? They were an avatar to channel and manifest the energies of the Whore of Babylon to bring about apocalyptic change on Earth. And because Babylon to the occultist represents the female sexual impulse, the liberated woman, the Mother Earth who births the new world. And Crowley believed that when he was, you know, stroping these Scarlet Women, that he was channeling energies to bring about this change into what he called the Aeon of Horus, the New Age. And one of his Scarlet Women, Rose Kelly, was the one who told him back in 1904, they were in Egypt, they went to the museum in Cairo, and Rose Kelly had this vision, and she said, they're waiting for you. And she then led him to an exhibit, which turned out to be exhibit number 666, which we'll come back to by the end of this to talk about how Apple is using 666 as part of this rollout for AI. And the 666 exhibit was for that of Horus, right? And then from this moment, this disembodied spirit named Awas, which Crowley later identified as Satan or the devil or Lucifer. It was not his, it was his holy guardian angel, but it wasn't his, what do you call it? It wasn't like a part of him. It was a disembodied entity, right? Some people say that, oh, your holy guardian angel is your higher self. No, this was a disembodied entity. This was an alien, basically. But anyways, this alien, Awas, then whispered in his ear, and he jotted down the notes, which would become the Book of the Law, which was the foundation for his religion, Thelema, which is where you get the 11-word commandment, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Now, sneak peek, next week, I'm going to publish a long-awaited interview, a much-hyped interview. I interviewed my man, Dr. Anteater. That's right. You're going to hear from the man himself, Dr. Anteater, one of my closest colleagues, BFFs. I interviewed him when we were down in Austin, Texas, because me and Dr. Anteater went to the University of Texas, Austin, the library there. And they have a Crowley exhibit. I'm trying to find the name of the library. I already forgot the name of this stinking library. What was it, folks? Anyways, we went and saw the Crowley exhibit. Oh, I can't stall. University of Texas, the Harry Ransom Center. Whew, there we go. We went to the Harry Ransom Center, and we held the original Book of the Law that Aleister Crowley wrote down while the spirit was talking to him. It's insane. Anyway, I'm going to drop that interview next week. Now, Crowley's Scarlet Women. He also had Layla Waddell. She was one of the Scarlet Women. She had her the Horns of Pan pose with the, what do you call it, where they... You put your hands on the side of your head with your thumbs sticking out, look like horns. But she did it with her hands in front of her, with her thumbs up. These are all like secret little coded symbols, right? In fact, you'll see it if you watch the Dunwich Horror, the movie from the 70s. Anyway, Layla was considered Crowley's most powerful muse. But Crowley, he was, you know, he's a degenerate. He's always cheating on these chicks and he was beating them up. They'd all become drug addicts and alcoholics and went insane. You could argue that this is a byproduct of dabbling with the occult. All right. Then he had Leah Hersig, who was in the news in 2021 because the Boris Johnson, who was the prime minister of the United Kingdom, he had a fiance named Carrie Symons, and she posted photos on her Instagram of a play she did while at Warwick University. And this play was based on Aleister Crowley. And it was based on a poem called Leah Sublime. And that was about Leah Hersig, one of his Scarlet Women. And it says all kinds of crazy stuff. Straddle the Beast, Spit on Me Scarlet, talks about doo-doo and pee-pee in his mouth, right? Very G.G. Allen-esque. It's pretty nasty, right? The poem talks about smearing diarrhea in his eyes, and oh my God, he calls the devil the Lord. Pretty crazy. Anyway, that was the fiance. She was in that play, I guess. I'm going to guess it wasn't as graphic as the poem, but I don't know. I wasn't there. But he took Leah Hersig down to Italy to confer... Cerfalu, I think is how you pronounce it. Because he built his Abbey of Thelema, which was like a hippie commune of sorts, where he was doing black magic. And supposedly, there's a lot of allegedlies about this place. Because he got kicked out by Mussolini. Because a baby went missing, allegedly. That was part of the black magic rituals. Allegedly, Leah had made sexy time with a goat. Because again, it's about Pan and the goat and the bobs and all that stuff. Now, what about all this nasty business? Well, Crowley was, if you listen to my AI, or I'm sorry, if you listen to my End of the World Antichrist episodes I did months ago when the war in the Middle East started up, there's two sides to bringing about the end days. And a certain group that begins with a Z, the name that shall not be said out loud, there's a certain group of people that begin with a Z, and they want to bring about the end of the world too. As do the dark black magic Satan worshiping occultists. They both want to push for this end times. Crowley and his folks are pushing at it from the dark side. All right. Well, Crowley in 1909 in Algeria did this ritual with Victor Newberg, who was a lover and magician with him. And they did a reenactment of the Enochian rituals that John Dee and Edward Kelly did. And he wrote about it in The Vision and the Voice. And this was actually the second book behind Thelema, behind the Book of the Law. But the Vision and the Voice was all about these Enochian rituals, which are based upon the Book of Revelation, mixed with the Enochian calls of Dee and Kelly. And during the rituals, he had visions of the great goddess, which was the Whore of Babylon. And he, during this, he linked it to the initiation of what he called crossing the abyss, where one annihilates their ego to become one with all. All right, they call this the Master of the Temple. They'll sign, like Jack Parsons did this, he signed his letters 8=3, which is a symbolic reference to the same thing, right? And also, sneak peek, next month in July, we're ramping up the Twin Peaks Grey Lodge for season 1 and 2, all right? And the season 2 episode, the finale episode, is a bizanger. And then I've got a season 1 and 2 wrap-up show that's very exhaustive. And we're going to talk about this exact idea of crossing the abyss, because it's very clearly baked into the show. But don't go anywhere, because then in August, we're coming back and we're doing The Secret Diary of Laura Palmer and an insane Fire Walk With Me analysis. You got to hear. It's going to be crazy. And then we're going to get into season 3, and we're gonna finish hard, baby. So anyway, in the vision and the voice on the inside cover, he scrawled the original version of the Seal of Babylon. I'll put that on... might be on the episode artwork or on the Instagram, both. I don't know. And this is where we come to the Apple Intelligence logo, because if you compare it, they're very much similar, almost the same. It's an exact 180-degree inversion vertically, excuse me, of a 7-pointed star. It's kind of like an interlocking puzzle where you don't lift your pen off the paper if you look at it. But Babylon, Crowley believed that Babylon had a male consort in Chaos. All right, that's the male side of this. Babylon also believed to be an earthly avatar to a goddess called Nuit, part of this Thelema unholy trinity of Nuit, Hadit, and Rahor Kuit. That's the female, the male, and the child, the crown and conquering child in Aeon of Horus. And there's 3 sections in the Book of the Law, each one devoted to one of the 3 in the Trinity there. Now, to wrap up the Babylon talk, I could just simply say the AI Apple Intelligence logo is a reference to the Seal of Babylon, because it's a 7-pointed star. However, it's inverted, so just for fun, let's look at the other side of this opposing force of the male side, Chaos or Hadit. If you go to Thelemapedia, they say that Hadit, the great god, the lord of the skies, depicted on the stela of revealing in the form of the winged disc of the sun. Hadit is the principal speaker of the 2nd chapter of the Book of the Law, where he identifies himself as the point in the center of the circle, the axle of the wheel, the cube in the circle. Because when you get into it, Hadit and the male side, Chaos, it's supposed to be sort of this hidden, repressed, I don't know, force of some kind. I'm going to keep reading here. The flame that burns in every heart of man and in the core of every star and the worshiper's own self. Hadit has been interpreted as the inner spirit of man, the Holy Ghost, the sperm in which the DNA of man is carried, the elixir vital. When juxtaposed with Nuit in Liber Legis Hadit, when juxtaposed with Nuit in Liber Legis, Hadit represents each unique point experience. And don't ask me what all that means. I couldn't tell you. That's why I just read it straight from their site. But what I take out of that is that the symbol for Chaos or Hadit is not the inverted 7-pointed star. I'm sorry to report. It's instead a circle with a point in the center, which is the logo for Target. Now, is Target part of the Apple branding? Sure. I mean, lots of places sell Apple crap. But, I mean, it's worth looking at, right? It's also the symbol for the sun, which makes sense because the sun represents male masculinity and powers, whereas the moon represents the feminine. But the symbol for Chaos could also be the eight-pointed star, the Star of Chaos. So if you look at it from that perspective, you've got Babylon, which is a seven-pointed star, Chaos as an eight-pointed star. So we got seven, eight, and then what's next? Nine. And we know that 789 is an important number to Aleister Crowley if you read Kenneth Grant's Outside the Circles of Time, which I just so happen to be reading because I'm doing some deep dive research into season 3, episode 8 of Twin Peaks. And I'm not done with the book yet. It's extremely dense. I'm going to read you from Outside the Circles of Time by Kenneth Grant. Note that 7 plus 8 plus 9 equals 24, equals the Path of Scorpio or the Scarlet Woman. The number 789 is therefore highly significant in the Kabbalah of Thelema. It links the Aeon of Horus with that of Mat, and thus makes possible the fusion of Horus and Set in one image. What are we talking about here? Right? The fusion of Horus and Set. Horus and Mat. The takeaway I get is the number 789 is significant in the Kabbalah of Thelema. Well, if you keep reading, it tells you a little bit more. It says the number 789, therefore, refers to Venusian, Mercurial, and Lunar vibrations in a triune rite ritual involving formula of the 7th, 8th, and 9th degrees of the OTO period. Venus is sweetness. Mercury is magic, particularly sex magic, and Luna is the goddess in her ultimate fullness or manifestation, the Maeon or Mat Ion, that is the perfect Ion. You see why it's taking me so long to read this book? Jeez. Anyways, I get from this talk about sex magic and the goddess and the moon and all that, right? The ninth degree of the OTO. It's something else we could look at. It's called the Initiate of the Sanctuary of the Gnosis. All right, and this is where we're going with all this. Gnosis, understanding, wisdom, knowledge. Okay. The ninth degree is heterosexual intercourse. The sexual fluids are sucked out of the vagina following orgasm. I didn't give you guys an explicit language warning, so I'm going to be careful here. So the fluids are sucked out of the V following the O, and when not consumed, put on a sigil to attract a demon to fulfill the pertinent wish or order. So you can see that, and this goes into the ideas of Tantra, which they call this the Kalas, different fluids for different things. It's sex magic and ritual about changing the world for the magician, because the OTO is based on Tantra, and Tantra is based on the extension of life and immortality and all these things. And fun fact, Crowley would actually add that 11th degree. He added the 9th, 10th, I'm sorry, the 8th, 9th, and 11th degree, because they skipped the number 10 because it's the number of God. But it's the same thing as the 9th degree, except it's of the man-on-man variety, and you pull the fluids from the anus with your mouth. You got to really want it, guys. You got to want it. You got to really want it. And anyway, we talked about this a little bit in, if you want more on that, 9-11 symbolism. Back in September of 2021, I did 4 or 5 episodes on the symbolism of 9-11. It was an insane analysis. And we talked about, in Kenneth Grant's book, Aleister Crowley and the Hidden God, he talks about 9 and 11. And the number 10 was skipped because it was regarded by the Kabbalist as the stable, perfected number. Because there's 10 Sephirot on the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. Anyway. I don't want to get sidetracked. I'll put a link in the show notes. If you haven't heard the 9-11 series, you got to listen to them. One of my best series that I've done. Now, in fact, in the fifth part, we talked about, because I bought the book, My Pet Goat, the one that George Bush was reading when the towers fell, that is based upon the heavily occulted video for what's it called? iPetGoat 2, which I'm going to work an analysis for you guys. I long overdue. I had it on my blog, which, as you know, got shut down. If you're not familiar with why, go to IlluminatiWatcher.com. Hit the Start Here tab. You can read my sad history of censorship. And yeah, I bought the My Pet Goat book. And in part 5, which is only on the supporter feed, sorry, we read from it. And you'd be shocked at what you find out. How's that for a teaser? Sorry, you getting high T. Isaac today. I'm teasing. I'm talking smack. No shorts, no losses on these nerds. So the Apple, speaking of nerds, the Apple event, they, you know, they announced they're going to do this artificial intelligence thing, the Apple Intelligence AI, okay? Well, what about Elon Musk? You know, the king of all nerds. The how about a lap dance for the world's richest man, Elon Musk? Well, he couldn't stand it. He needed some attention, and he said, I'm gonna stop using Apple products if you use AI on your phones, because I think there's gonna be some security issues, which I actually agree with him. Every time I see this stuff with the technology, with these social medias and these phone companies, and they're like, oh, your privacy is so important to us, and I'm like, okay, except for when it's not. How many times are you guys going to get in trouble for selling data or someone hacking it or whatever? I mean, you'd be foolish, absolutely foolish, to think anything you do with a digital thumbprint could be private. I'm sorry. You can delete your history, whatever you think you can do. There's someone can retrieve it. Anyways, Elon Musk had beef with OpenAI, which is the architecture that Apple Intelligence is going to use. I'm going to read you from some news website. It says, Musk, who has worked to portray himself as an advocate for users and humanity, also didn't mention his legal beef with OpenAI, which is detailed in a February lawsuit. In that lawsuit, he claimed that the San Francisco-based startup led by CEO Sam Altman abandoned its founding mission to develop AI that will benefit humanity and instead has focused on chasing profit. In response, OpenAI challenged Musk's narrative in a lengthy blog post on its site on March 5th, saying the billionaire investor was angry that his 2018 attempt to take over OpenAI was rebuffed. It included Musk's demand to become the CEO and majority shareholder so he could turn it into a for-profit entity himself. And then they went on and they released the emails and, oh, it's drama galore over in the Elon Musk Aeon of horrors. So, and Elon Musk, he's a weird dude. He's been on both sides of this AI argument. He's claimed many things. If you read Professor Diana Pasulka's Encounters book, I interviewed her months ago. You need to listen to that one. Again, one of the most important episodes. Should I put the link in the show notes? Sure, why not? Link, Pasulka interview. Now, which leads me to my next point. If you're on my supporter feeds, like the VIP section or Apple Premium or Patreon, you'll notice I always say I'm going to put these links in the show notes. I don't for those feeds because I've got the links to my free feed version I can look up, but the other ones, it's not that easy. And plus, like, especially with the VIP section, I could link it, but it's not going to take you. I don't have a way of linking it to the podcast episode. Same goes for the Apple Premium. So my apologies. I'm sure that's annoying. You're gonna have to like scroll back or I actually don't even use the Patreon app, but you don't need to use the Patreon app. If you're on Patreon, you can actually drop it into Apple. That's what I do when I subscribe to people. Anyway, I just want to clarify that. I always think about that when I'm doing my post-editing. I think, man, all the people on the Patreon and the VIP section and the Apple Premium, they probably are like, dude, I always look and there's never a link in the show notes. It's because I can't. Because it wouldn't work. I don't have a way of linking to the episode, if that makes sense. Patreon, okay, to be fair, Patreon I could. In fact, I think they added a search function. I used to not be able to search for my own posts. And I think they've added that. So let me see if I can do it for the Patreon folks. But the other ones, I physically can't because there's just no way of linking it on the app, if that makes any sense. Now, Elon Musk. He's called AI many things. Like I was talking about with the Pasalka interview when we got sidetracked there. He called AI a bootloader for a new human species or something to that effect. Meaning AI was going to birth a new species, which is the ultimate goal of these occultists. He also called it the biggest existential threat of our lifetime. Said it was more dangerous than nukes. Right? And all of these things that he's... And I believe that he believes these things, that AI is very dangerous, because he's publicly supported regulations for AI. And if you know anything about Elon Musk, it's like he's not really super into the government regulation. He seems very libertarian. He's very much against it. So for him to back up, be like, yeah, well, you need to put some rules on this, that tells me he's for real about it. He's worried about it. He said, quote, if AI has a goal and humanity just happens to be in the way, it will destroy humanity as a matter of course without even thinking about it. It's just like if we're building a road and an anthill just happens to be in the way, we don't hate ants, we're just building a road. And then he said, AI will be the best or worst thing ever for humanity. Huh. So he clearly doesn't think AI is totally innocent or the safest thing for humanity. So of course he's building his own AI. Of course he's building his own AI. Why wouldn't he want a piece of that action? He's building an AI. It's called Grok. It's a chatbot on Twitter, apparently. I think it's in beta. Unless you're a premium Twitter user, which I proudly can say I am not anymore. I was paying for the blue check mark, not because I wanted the clout. I wanted, because you can post longer tweets, okay? And I was cool with that. And then they took it away, even though I was paying my monthly dues. And then they sent me a message saying they needed me to upload a digital ID or my driver's license or a form of digital ID or whatever. Yeah, I said, no, sir. For the exact reason that he's worried about Apple using AI, I'm like, what? So you guys can, someone can hack into Twitter and like steal my identity or whatever? I don't know what these nerds do. No, thank you. I do not need the drama, right? And I don't trust Elon Musk. Like, he's selling to the intelligence agencies. I don't know what he's doing with it. I mean, I'm sure they could figure out things, but anyway, I'm happy to say I'm no longer. But it gave me the ick. Every month I'd pay the $8, and I was like, ugh, I hate that I do this. But, you know, it promised a lot of things. And what I liked about it is I could copy and paste my entire show description and plunk it in there. Now I got to abbreviate it because I can only have the 140 characters or whatever. I don't care. It's fine. Anyway. Interesting name, though, Grok. And I thought, well, what's that mean? I've seen it. I don't know what it means. It was originally called TruthGPT. And it was labeled as this sort of anti-woke thing. Because now there's this theory that the different AIs, some are like built on woke diversity. I don't know what's going on. People get upset. But now they're saying there's political interpretations that these AI are getting. And some are more right-leaning, some are more left-leaning, and all this stuff. But the name Grok comes from Robert Heinlein's novel, Stranger in a Strange Land. And it actually means understanding something thoroughly and intuitively. Grok means, quote unquote, to understand. That's important for later. Pay attention. Now, I've never read this book. It sounded really interesting. I read the plot. And I was like, I should read this book. I've heard about it a million times. It's 600 pages. I don't love fiction. Not like that, usually. So the plot is about a guy who's born on Mars, raised by Martians, comes to Earth with these, you know, CDs, these superpowers of telekinesis and all these crazy occult powers, and he attempts to change society. Now, ironically, the title of the book, Stranger in a Strange Land, comes from the Bible, comes from Exodus 2:22. And if you go to the Wikipedia about the term Grok, it explains it as follows. According to the book, drinking water is a central focus on Mars where it is scarce. Martians use the merging of their bodies with water as a simple example or symbol of how two entities can combine to create a new reality greater than the sum of its parts. The water becomes part of the drinker and the drinker part of the water. Both grok each other. Things that once had separate realities become entangled in the same experiences, goals, history, and purpose. Within the book, the statement of divine immanence, verbalized among the main characters, "Thou art God," is logically derived from the concept inherent in the term grok. So it's about fusing two symbols together. You could argue about unification of opposing forces, the reconciliation of opposites. Argue that it's goat with the bobs. Argue it's about becoming God. All of those would make sense, apparently, from the book. I haven't read it. That's what I'm seeing. And it should be noted that grok is also a term used in Discordianism with Robert Anton Wilson, which is going to come up in my discussion with Dr. Anteater, I believe. We talk about, I talk about Prometheus Rising for a second at the beginning, anyway. But the idea is that this man, this stranger in a strange land, shows up on Earth and tries to change us with his occult powers. And one of the things he does is he establishes a new religion based upon Western esotericism. That's in the wiki description, okay? We're talking Illuminati confirm occult. Which makes sense, because the whole story apparently is about questioning social norms and the social constructs. Right? Monogamy, religion, all of these things. Which is what, and which is the reason I know about this book title. I'm not that much of a guy that's into books. I'm not a book nerd. But Charles Manson was into this book. That's why I primarily know it. And it was influential to the hippie movement, right? That's why they were doing communes and really testing the social construct, which is why the FBI and the CIA wanted to bring it down, because that's not good for business. It's not good for capitalism. They didn't like it. They don't want 10 people living in the same house. They want 10 people living in 10 separate houses with 10 separate cars and 10 separate cable bills. That's what they want. And to be fair, that's what I want too. I'm not trying to live with a bunch of people. I did that in the military. No, thank you. But anyways, the point being, grok, Elon Musk's AI is based upon Illuminate Confirm. All right, this idea of opposing polarities. So let's wrap it all up. Let's zoom it out. In conclusion, you're probably like, Isaac, what are you even talking about here? I'm talking about the end of the current age. I'm talking about the apocalypse. I'm talking about the revelation. The ushering in of the new age, the Aeon of Horus, the Age of Aquarius, whatever you want to call it. Simply means from the state of the world being a religious one and belief in Christianity to self-serving Luciferian interests. YOLO, right? How dated of a term is that? How old do I sound? Do you know what I'm saying? Now let's unpack it just a little bit more. I'm going to hit you with some bangers and then we're done. Recall we talked about Babylon, the Seal of Babylon, the same as the symbol for Apple Intelligence. The consort to Babylon is the Great Beast, as well as, chaos, like we talked about earlier. Well, Babylon combined with the Great Beast brings about the Aeon of Horus, according to Crowley's stuff, right? And Crowley says the number for the Great Beast is 666. Duh, right? Well, AI, Apple Intelligence, is going to be released on iOS 18. And if you, put that together, that's 6 plus 6 plus 6. iOS 18 is another reference to 666, the Great Beast. So they're actually showing you the Seal of Babylon with the Great Beast 666 coming together, unification of opposing forces. There's your symbol of Pan from Lila Waddell with the fingies, the thumbs up. They're trying to do goat with the bobs, right? Kenneth Grant described this completion of the great work. He says, the magical formula of the great work, which is the process of uniting these two consciousness, is abracadabra. Uniting the two consciousnesses. This is the great work on a magical level. Now, furthermore, should my dear listeners doubt, Mario Visconti has a book about Aleister Crowley that I bought. Even though we had beef on Twitter, it's fine. I won't hold it against him. But He has a book on Crowley, and he says that Babylon actually goes by another name. And you know what that name is? Understanding. Okay? If you read Crowley's Vision and the Voice, that's where he talks about it. He says, "Beautiful art thou, O Babylon, and desirable, for thou hast given thyself to everything that liveth, and thy weakness hath subdued their strengths. For in that union thou didst understand. Therefore art thou called Understanding, O Babylon, Lady of the Night." Okay, Babylon, a.k.a. Understanding. What did we say that Grok meant? Grok meant to understand. All right. Why does any of that matter? Well, Visconti tells us that Babylon symbolizes the New Age. As we heard from John Dee and Aleister Crowley, they talk about the symbol, how Babylon is going to bring, and Jack Parsons, Babylon brings about the end times, the apocalypse, the revealing. Visconti said, "The mysteries of Babylon are indeed the true gateway into humanity's final initiation." And that's what we're looking at here, through symbols. The union of Babylon with chaos, symbolized as the goat with the bobs. And to bring it back to Apple, people believe that this will be revolutionary, much like how Apple, when they released the, iPhone 3 or whatever it was, how it had apps, right? That was a revolutionary change. Imagine having a phone where all you did was text and call. This is supposed to be revolutionary. The stock surged after the announcement. It's a whole big to-do. Because they say, oh, you know, Apple, of course, they're late on running technology, but they perfect it. That's the sales pitch for Apple. Like, yeah, I've heard of AI for the last couple of years. People are making porno movies and all kinds of stuff on it or whatever, right? Yeah, well, Apple's now integrating it perfectly into the technology. And tell me that phones aren't changing the way we live, right? Now, some people claim this goes back to Apple's vision of 1987. There's a thing they had called Knowledge Navigator. I'm going to read to you from it. It says, coined in 1987, the term Knowledge Navigator described a future computing system and how people might use it to navigate worlds of knowledge. In a sense, the user is actually the Knowledge Navigator, though the term often refers to the system's primary interface, a tablet computer. That part, i.e. the tablet, often stands for the whole system. The term is also the title of an Apple, quote-unquote, vision video. The concept was described by former Apple computer CEO John Sculley and John Byrne in their book Odyssey, Pepsi to Apple. So the Knowledge Navigator, which they're saying is the sort of predecessor to Apple Intelligence, was shown to us on what Apple called vision video. One more connection here. Crowley, he talks about Babylon and the vision and the voice. Vision video, vision of the voice. So, look, what I'm saying here is that I don't know if Apple is like, hey, we want to destroy the world and stop Christianity or whatever. I don't think so. I think they're just trying to make money. But I do think subconsciously, you know, I subscribe to that idea in, like Plato's Aeon. There's conversations with Socrates and Aeon where they question, they say, did artists come up with these creative moments, or are they possessed by the gods? Now, yeah, they're possessed by the gods. I think sometimes the Luciferian forces are working through intermediaries, and through synchromysticism, these symbols show up. And then whack jobs like me look for it, okay? So it's possible we're overthinking it. That's one option. I don't think so, though. I think AI is seeking to overthrow humanity. And I don't think, you know, look, AI could be used to make our lives better, right? We could find a way. I saw a meme about this, so I'm stealing this. Someone said, like, you know, AI, I want AI to wash my dishes and clean my house so that I can free my time to be with my kids or do some art or go have fun. Instead, what's it doing? It's fueling technology and social media and the phone, which to me, it's like, man, all that stuff's so divisive. It giveth and taketh. Sometimes it's good and positive. Sometimes it's not. And I don't think our capitalist slave masters are going to have it any other way. They're not going to do it. They're not going to be like, hey, buddy, you're working your hard 40 hours a week. here's an AI tool, so you only have to work 20 and we're going to pay you for the full 40. Hell no. They're going to fire your ass. Right? That's where this is headed, and it's nowhere good. So in double conclusion, these nerds are going to kill us, right? This time through the spiritual apocalypse of Luciferian deceit. Which reminds me, this might be your final reminder. Saturday, June 22nd, Las Vegas. Come see me. I'm doing a presentation on an Eyes Wide Shut. Me, Jay Dyer, Jamie Hanshaw, we're going to be giving some kick-ass presentations. And I want you to join us. We're going to do a little meet and greet. I got some shirts that say these nerds are going to kill us. You wear it loud and proud. And everyone's going to look at it and they're going to say, you know what, buddy, you're right. You're absolutely right. These nerds, Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, they're all going to kill us. They're going to take all the money. They're going to make us their slaves, and then they're going to kill us. Because this is the occult fantasies. Thank you for listening to my satanic fear-mongering. try not to let it get you down. It's all right. Because you know what? You got to throw your hands up and say, it's fine. You trust the big man upstairs. He's like, no one's going to take God out. God's the OG. You know what I mean? I ain't worried about it. This is the earthly realm. We're only here for a short amount of time. Spend it loving the people you want to love and trying to be positive. Okay? That was the purpose of this experiment. Thank you for listening to my show. If you like the show, leave a 5-star review. If you love the show, become a supporter. And you'll get the ad-free version of the show. Hundreds of bonus episodes. More bonus content than you could ever consume. All right? You know where to go. You know what to do. Links in the show notes. Till next time, stay positive.